Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we're vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. Men, as always, I'd like to begin by thanking you for checking out today's show, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening wherever you grab your audio content. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode. When you get a chance, visit the website, thepursuitofmanliness.com. You can find this episode, the whole catalog of 400-plus episodes. You can see what's available in the gear store. Right now, you can sign up for the fall men's retreat. You can sign up for the next session of Tribe, which begins June 1st and it runs until November 30th. You can sign up for our Framework Field Notes newsletter that goes out every week. I also want to remind you, the Friday podcast is sponsored by Darkwater Woodwork. DarkwaterKC.com. If you use today's discount code that I'm going to give you on today's podcast episode, you'll save money when you go there. The link is in the show notes. But while you're there, you're going to realize Doug has a lot of things to check out. He's constantly adding to his store. He's adding to what is available. But I want to encourage you, grab some Old Fashioned. This Old Fashioned beard oil is incredible. I've had a number of beard oils through the years, and every once in a while one of them will kind of stand out to me as a good scent or something that I have no problem wearing. This is wife approved. This is a fantastic scent. It's called Old Fashioned. Make sure you grab a couple, give one to somebody else. You got graduation stuff coming up. Some of these young men are going to start to let the follicles come out of their face, and this is something that will help them keep that beard going and looking good and looking strong. Amen. So men, it's time for today's podcast episode. All right, so last week we began to unpack the book of Philippians. I said, I don't know how long this is going to take, but we are in Philippians 1, 3 through 11 today. We went back to Acts 16. We met some of the people that would have received this letter that were more than likely part of the church. They were certainly instrumental in the foundation of the church, and we talked about being in tune with the Holy Spirit, but also looking for evangelistic opportunities, which those really do go hand in hand. God is still in the business of redeeming and restoring people, and He allows us to be a part of that process. We're going to look at Philippians 1, 3 through 11. There's a couple things that's going to stand out, but he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all are making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So, first and foremost, the discount code I want you to get before we get into this text is partnership. Partnership, all capital letters, one word. This is important because when you become a believer in Christ, what you need to do is partner with other believers. The saying is old as time, there are no lone ranger, lone wolf Christians. We're built for community. And if you're trying to convince yourself that you can do it otherwise, you're wrong. And you know that deep in your heart. But there's some kind of insecurity. There's some kind of issue there that you're afraid, if I'm honest or if I show up and share, then they'll think less of me. I mean, they already know, right? Like, we already know we're all a mess. I was thinking this today when it comes to our men's retreat. We don't bring in big name speakers to try to lure you to Indianapolis. It's me, okay? We don't bring in, you know, some kind of worship team that has their own record label, whatever. We have part of our worship team as a church, and we have guys in Tribe. All we are is regular guys who are trying to love Jesus, who are trying to get back to our address just a little bit better than when we left. That's it. That's what we're about. And that's what Paul's about. He's about partnership in the gospel. We talked about Lydia, the seller of purple, who had a faith in God, but not a relationship with Jesus. She's baptized, her whole household. She tells him, you're going to stick around for a minute. You got the slave girl who now has freedom for the first time. Her owners who were upset and had the guys beaten and all that. The jailer, as they're there, as they're singing the hymns, the jailer's converted his house from the first day until now. Listen, man, the key to the Christian walk, once you come to Christ, is to have relationships and understand your mission. If you try to not have relationships, there's a really good chance you're not living on mission. What's the mission? Go make disciples. Go evangelize the lost. Be on mission. Part of our problem is, well, I shouldn't say part of our problem, a massive problem we have is men don't do community well, and we don't live on mission. We can get fired up about some things. If you decide that you're going to learn new skills, if you decide that you're going to take on a new hobby, if you decide you're going to go into a new career path, men will move heaven and earth for those things to happen. You say, man, go tell someone about Jesus. Yeah, I just don't think I know enough. Well, you just spent countless hours the last four nights sitting in your recliner on YouTube trying to learn a new skill so that you can put it on Instagram or you can tell the guys at work. But to go share your faith, you're like, I just don't think I know enough. It's because you haven't partnered with the right people and you're not living on mission. You see, when you get around high caliber humans, it changes you. When I get around high caliber humans, I'm not in competition with them. I like to think I compliment them to a degree, but I'm going to take a whole bunch away. You see, I get around guys who are moving the same direction. We're living on mission. We're helping each other. We're spurring one another on. We're stirring one another up to remembrance. We're imploring one another. You get around those guys, that's a game changer. Now, if you've never had those guys before, you think to yourself, that sounds good. And then you get around them and you realize when iron sharpens iron, you know, one man is sharpening another, that it's not all going to be hugs, high fives, and handshakes. There's going to be a bit of tension. But brother, it is absolutely worth it. I want to implore you. You have people in your life. Some of them live within your home who need you to get this right. You have people in your life that will be impacted in eternal ways. If you will stop with the insecurity, if you'll stop with the self-loathing, if you'll stop with the inferiority complex, or the other way where you think that you know everything and you have nothing to be taught, if you'll just eliminate that and say, let me just be a man of God and get around really good men, I'm telling you, it will change you. It will change you. He said, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. He'll bring it to completion. So it's continually happening right now. Listen, you can have all the knowledge you want in the world. You can have all the understanding that you can have. But if you don't have the application connected to the love of God, it's worthless. There's a lot of smart people who've never done nothing for the kingdom. There's a lot of people who would love to boast all the letters that are after their name, but they're not making any disciples. There's a lot of people who have tons of books on their bookshelf, and they can post really great doctoral thesis all the time, but they don't have relationships with people. I'll go back to that. We're built for community, and we're built to live on mission. If I'm just telling you how wonderful and smart I am, and you get impressed with me, we've done absolutely nothing. But if I can help you see Jesus, then we got something. This is my approach. People say all the time, oh, your podcast is so simple. Your preaching is so simple. I'm like, I don't know what it is. All I know is what it took to reach me. That's what I'm trying to replicate. I don't know what it took to reach you. But I know this, the method that was used to reach you, perhaps that's the method you might use to replicate it so that you could reach somebody else. I know for me, I had really good people just explain the gospel in the simplest terms that made sense to me, a completely lost individual, and helped me understand what a life in Christ looked like. Now, as I stand here today, recording this, as you listen to this or watch this, whatever, I want you to know I'm still trying to figure this thing out. One of the greatest pieces of advice I had ever received, and I received it before I took off for my first ministry. Truth is, I had no clue what I was doing, but this person told me this. They said, always remain teachable. That's why I say, I implore you, you got to get around high caliber men. If you can't find them, tribe might be a place to start. The men's retreat, whatever, they're out there. And maybe you're in a church community, you can't find them. Listen, man, they're out there if you look for them. Now, if they're boasting about how great they are, keep moving on. You need to find a different group. But if you find some guys who are real, who are genuine, who are authentic, and I know those are all catchphrases right now, but it is out there. I'm telling you, it's there. Man, lean into it. It is such a blessing. He said, it is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. We said last time, some of you have no idea what that's like. To hold somebody in your heart. Can men of God hold somebody in their heart? Absolutely. When you labored for them to understand the gospel. And I say some of you don't know what that is because you've never labored for the gospel. You accepted it. Or you merged into traffic and said, okay, I guess I'll be a part of that church. I guess I'll be a part of that group. I guess I'll attend that. But to labor for the gospel, that eludes you. You don't know what that is. I go back to last week. Be in step, be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Ask God to help you do that. Look for evangelistic opportunities. You're looking for those things. You win some, you lose some. It's not really about us, win some, lose some. But you know what I'm talking about. You get some that seem more successful or more productive than others. And then you get around community, like we're talking about this week. You get around community and you live on mission. And then you are a disciple who makes disciples. Paul says, man, Lydia, I remember going into your house for the first time. And I remember you sharing the joy of the gospel with your family. And I remember them all going, okay, I guess we're going in and we're doing this too. He remembers the look in the slave girl's eyes from when she was yelling and crying out about who these guys were to the time they turned around in relief. And she was going to experience redemption. She was going to experience a hope. The jailer, he's flicking the lights on or lighting the candles or torches, whatever he's doing, thinking, I'm about to end my life. And he said, don't do that. We're all right here. He said, what do I need to do to have what you guys have? Man, isn't that what you want? I want that. I want to live a life in such a way that someone says, all right, tell me what it is. What do you got? What is going on here? And so it's so easy to get caught up in our day in, day out routines. I got things to do today. I got things to do tomorrow. I got tomorrow's to-do list filled. I got this going on. I got that. Listen, I get it. I got kids working. I got activities, soccer schedules, work, funeral I got to do this week. I got this going on. I got a thing on Saturday. I got three things on Saturday. And I don't know how you balance it. I don't know how. We're just coming and going. It's real simple. Do the next right thing. That's it. So wherever you're at, be there and look for the next right thing to do. So you're at work. Okay, what's the next right thing? Well, I need to complete a task. I need to reply back to that email. I got a text message just came through. I need to respond to that. No, what's the next right thing? Have you spent time with God? Have you looked for an opportunity to encourage somebody? Have you looked for an opportunity to pray with somebody? Man, you can send an email. Send the most God-honoring email. Have the most God-honoring meeting. Wherever you're at, be there and look for the next right thing to do. You say, man, I've blown it all day. I know. I've had days like that too. Don't make it worse. Do the next right thing. You see, if I'm in community, it's going to keep me from drifting. Guys drift from community all the time, and I hear from them all the time, like, oh man, I had this going on. Well, where were you? Where'd you go? You had community, and you drifted from it, and it got worse. And they'll tell you that. It always gets worse. I've never seen a guy remove himself from community to find out he's making disciples. It's never been that way. And no matter how much we want to paint it as we're fine, whatever, we're really not. So you got to get in community. And you have to live on mission. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. My prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. Do you pray well? Do you pray for other people well? You see, if you labor with them, if you have community with them, if you have a brotherhood with them, if you're on a mission together, it's more natural to pray for other people. But you're going to struggle in your prayer life if your life really is all about you or about just your address. Or just your house. A lot of people kind of have that bunker down, hunker down mentality. Yeah, well, life's going to come your way. And then you're going to be like, man, this the whole thing was just one house of cards. Didn't take much to knock it over. But if you got community, man, not everyone in your community is going to be the person that can walk through the storms with you. Not everybody. Some of them are just better at being friends. Some of them are better theologians. Some of them are, but you build community of all different types of people. Now, if they're all at the same level, you need to add some who are ahead of you, some maybe that you're pouring into, whatever. But you got your community. You're living on mission. You're going to celebrate a win with that guy the next time you guys get together. You're going to celebrate the fact that he reached out that person and they reciprocated that. You're going to celebrate when you have something that goes on and you can share that win with them or you can share what the burden is on your heart. You have that. But again, I'll go back to last week. You need to pray. God, help me be in tune with the Spirit. Help me look for evangelistic opportunities. It's what the disciples did. Jesus sent them out, called them back. Tell me what happened. Here's 5,000 people. What should we do? Man, I have no idea. This feels overwhelming. Jesus said, I got it. I just need a little bit of obedience from you. Just a little bit of obedience to God can go a long way. Now, don't try to give him the minimum. You see, in that feeding of the 5,000, they gave him all they had. They're like, it ain't much, but it's all I got. That's what God wants. He said, just give it to me. You're not going to do a lot with it. I'm going to do a whole bunch with it if you'll just give it to me. One of the best ways of guys starting to give it over to the Lord after you've surrendered to Jesus, get in community. Build it, man. build it in your garage. I heard from a guy the other day who's doing TriBuilder. He said, I've invited this many number of people. I can't remember the number he had. He said, I think we've already outgrown my garage. What a great problem. And all it started with a guy who was willing to put the door up, throw out some chairs, and said, let's just gather. He's probably at a place before they even start that they're thinking about, we might need another group. We might need a different location. Isn't that a great problem? He's got community. Now, you get those guys to live on mission, and that's what TriBuilder tries to do. Let's get in the Word. Let's think about other people. Let's live this thing out. I'll tell you what God will do with just a bunch of burly dudes who are willing to be used by Him is beyond anything you and I can fathom. He says, so that you may approve what is excellent and to be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, a day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Does that sound like the people you're running with? It does sound like the people I'm running with. This is what I want for you. This is what I want for me. And because I have it, and some of you have it, then I need to continue to cultivate it. I cultivate the relationship I have with Jesus personally. I cultivate the relationship I have with my family when it comes to spiritual matters, relational matters, all the matters, okay? And then I cultivate it outside of here, in my church, community, tribe, all those things. I'm continually cultivating these relationships because I desperately need them. And I got a hunch you do too, okay? So wherever you're at, just do the next right thing. Start praying, God, help me have community. Help me find solid relationships, solid friendships, and help them be people that will spur each other on to live on mission. Amen. Man, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.